You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
Have you ever put your life in another man's hand? Have you ever had somebody responsible for your life? Well, every time you get in the car and people are drinking, you're putting your life in somebody's hands. I would rather have an inexperienced driver to drive me around than somebody who's intoxicated, because your timing is off and my life is in your hands. And what are you going to do with it? You're laughing and texting and playing and smoking, and my life or a little baby is in your hands. You don't see it?
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Divine Reversal. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Habakkuk 2, verse 1, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 6 through 8.
Could you lift up your hands for a moment? I just saw something enter into the room. And I know it's the angel of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your angels visiting us. Thank you for the deposit that you're placing in the atmosphere and for the healing that will take place in your people. I give you glory and praise for the packages that you're dropping off, for the parcels. Hallelujah. The parcels that are being released. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk, intoxicated, filthy, intoxicated, or drunk at night. But let us who are sober, let us who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, charity, and as a helmet of hope, expectancy of salvation. How many of you know he saved us? He is saving us, and he will save us. Glory to God. You were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Glory to God. Think about that. I don't care what you're dealing with right now, he's going to rescue you. He may not come, the old folk used to say, he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. He will not leave us orphans. He's coming for his people, and he's coming for you, and he's coming for me, and he's coming for us. I want to share with you from this thought out of the series called First Watch 2026. Set your watch. Look at your life at the top of this year and see where you are. I've given you growth markers, so you should be able to measure to see if you've made any movement upward in the last 12 months. So set a watch at the top of this year, not a resolution, but a watch. Examine your calendar, your chronos, to see if you're ready for the kairos. Have you spent any time in prep? Are you ready for God to say to you what he's intended to say? Are you ready for him to push out of you, out of your matrix, out of your spirit, what has been laying in that spirit or your spirit for decades? I decree this is the time and this is the season. Set your watch. I want to minister part two of a message called Divine Reversal. For us to activate, God has to shift some decisions that have been made and some situations that you're in. He has to turn it around. Glory to God. I want, man, if I could sing like Fred Hammond, late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn around. He's going to work in your favor. Right. But see, this is God's going to turn it around in you. The baby that is breached is about to be, it's about to flip. And I want y'all to hear this. There's going to be pressure with the turn. Don't abort it because you feel pressure. See, when we feel tension, we like to back up and say that's the devil. But God uses pressure and tension to curve things and to develop things and to get you to a point where you be more resilient. Glory to God. I'm after today your resilience, your stick-to-itiveness to wait on the Lord until he renews your strength. So wait, I say, wait on the Lord. I believe God is going to do something powerful in our lives. Say it to your neighbor, this is the year of activation. Amen. For us to activate, God's got to shift some decisions. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. It was you that brought me from dusty streets. It was you who called me by name. It was you who sent us here. Now use me for your glory. Touch your people now and prepare us with ears to hear. Give us a heart to receive, a warm mind to comprehend, and a spirit to contain your word. And we will give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the angels are here depositing things. Holy Ghost is here to activate things. And I'm ready to teach. One of the things that I believe we need to do as a church is to teach, train, correct, and what? Release. And I want you to see this as a circle, not as a line. We teach, we train, we correct, we release. We teach, train, correct, release. Let's do it like this. Teach, train, correct, release. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Not a line, linearly. Teach, train, correct, release. And then what do you do after you release? Let them go? No. You complete the cycle. And you keep the cycle going on and on and on and on. And this is how I minister. I would like for you to adopt the same thing. Are you teaching? Are you training? Are you correcting something? Or are you releasing it? So right now I'm teaching. I will teach today. The next phase is I will train. In other words, I will model for you what I think we need to do. Every leader has to think this way. You can't say I taught you, but when it comes down to training, I don't have to model nothing. I'm absent when it comes to modeling because it's not only what you display publicly or externally, it's what you display internally. It's what people see and what they don't see. That's the modeling part. I guarantee any model, I'm talking about top 10 around the world, Essence magazine type model, has to follow a certain template, certain diet, certain rest, certain everything, if they're going to be on the page of a magazine. Because the model requires it. Well, if you're modeling anything for God, he requires for you to have a certain diet, a certain attitude, and a certain show up or presentation, both publicly and privately. No model can get caught out in a pub somewhere, even if it's in Paris, because you will mess up essence. My God, It's the same way with God. And there's no way somebody in the street that's getting millions of dollars for their semblance, for their shape, should be more in tune to their modeling contract than we are as it relates to how we display what God wants us to display for his kingdom. So we teach, we train. That's the modeling part, and that's the hard part. That's what we're going to do tomorrow when we're not in the church. And then we correct, not correct as in rebuke. It is to take us back to the training that was modeled. So maybe we didn't model it enough. So we got to go back and redo that again. And again. And again. And again. And again. You tired? Yeah, I know. That's why I'm up here. I can't get tired. You can get tired and point at me when I get tired. But you get tired all of the time. But I can't get tired, and we're human. I'm human just like you, but I can never get tired. But you get, I'm not going. I'm done. I'm through. I'm tired, Bishop. But let me do it once. Then people's faith starts slipping. That's why he put me there and gave me broad shoulders. So I can carry some stuff. And if you're with me, you got to learn how to carry stuff. Let me preach on this side. If you're with me, you got to learn how to carry stuff. I know Jesus can carry it. He carried a cross. But must he bear it alone? And all of us go free. There's a cross for every one of us. Say it with me. And there's a cross for me. Yeah. How well do you bear that cross? See, that's what I'm talking about. We know God can do it, but can you? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm in the valley, but I will fear no evil, because I got somebody in the valley with me, and he's better than a barnyard dog. Bad God. I love these two passages of scripture, Habakkuk. Before we deal with write a vision down and making it plain, which we will do, and visit our plans or arrangements. Another word for plans are arrangements. How well do you arrange things? Very simple, right? And so I have a place that I put my keys when I come home, right? So I don't have to, you know, where are my keys? I don't like doing that. So I have a place for keys, my keys, right? So how do you arrange things? It may be untidy, but I know where it is. Y'all understand? So a lot of people are like that. You know where your stuff is. But how well do you arrange or plan? Remember, plans are basically arrangements. And so the better you arrange it, the clearer the plan. Now, a lot of people like to lead or have the title of leading, but leading is not just bombastic and strength. It's how well do you plan and do you stick with the plan? Before we get to the vision that we need to write down and make it plain, he says, I will stand at my watch. I'm not sitting at my watch. I'm not reclined at my watch. I'm not sitting there thinking about what other people are doing. I'm standing at my watch, my time to watch. If you've ever been in the military, you know they have what they call fire watch. There is no fire, but somebody has to be up through the night, 1 hour, get up, and you got to put on your clothes and walk around in a dark squad bay to make sure there's no fire. There's really no fire, but they're called fire watches. So at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, in the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, while you're in basic training, somebody is setting a watch. And you can't go to sleep. You will get in big trouble once you go in the military and you're the fire watch. And you say, oh, nobody can see it. I'll just sit in the corner and go to sleep. There is no such thing like that. You're treated as if you just murdered somebody if you go to sleep on fire watch. I will set my watch. So when I see the scripture here, it's not casual to me, because many of you have never had that kind of pressure on you in life. Well, you're tired, but you can't go to sleep. Your future and other people's lives are dependent on you to set a watch. Not just your own kids, but people that look like you the same age, yet they're resting. Have you ever put your life in another man's hands? Have you ever had somebody responsible for your life? Well, every time you get in the car and people are drinking, you're putting your life in somebody's hands. I would rather have an inexperienced driver to drive me around than somebody who's intoxicated. Because your timing is off. And my life is in your hands. And what are you going to do with it? You're laughing and texting and playing and smoking, and my life or a little baby is in your hands? You don't see it? Well, when I set a watch now, you got to start thinking about that. I've got to set it. Stand my watch. A lot of times the enemy doesn't come when it's daylight. He comes when it's night and people are sleeping. Even wolves do more hunting. Predators do more hunting when the sun goes down. While you're sleeping and you're tired and you're intoxicated and not embracing sobriety, the enemy is working at night. Even eagles have to be submitted. They have to submit themselves to the owl. Both of them are raptors, but the owl can see at night. He's more nocturnal. And if you've ever been close to an owl, their eyes look like this big. I was at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, and I went into a fuel farm to use the phone. And I'm watching the river right there. I can hear the water. It's not the ocean. The ocean is to my back. But I'm looking at the river, and I'm on the phone, and I see a bobcat jump on the fence. The fence is high, and he saw a rabbit, a baby rabbit, jump over the fence and grab the rabbit, killed it, and then he jumped back over the fence and went in the woods and ate it. And I was like, man, that's wild nature, man. I was right there watching it. I didn't have my camera out to take a picture so I can put it on YouTube and get a million hits. I don't think they had YouTube at the time, but I was watching. I was watching, man. I was watching. And all of a sudden, my hair stood on the back of my head. I said, man, what is that? I turned around, and I'm telling you, there was this huge owl that was perched. Like, I'm saying maybe 4 feet away from me, its body was away, and it turned around, like it had its neck turned all the way around, and it was above me and was just looking at me like this. I was like, my God. So it obviously saw me come in. It didn't flutter, it didn't say anything, but it was staring at me. And it was really close. I didn't know they were that big. So I said, oh! The thing turned his head around slow and then just lifted off and flew away with no sound. It's nocturnal. And even an eagle has to submit to it. That's why eagles don't fly at night. They go to their nest and rest. But an owl will hunt at night. And it's more vicious and more effective at night than any other predator. Believe what I'm telling you. I saw this guy working with, man, he was always inquisitive, right? So he goes to one of those pads that are now inactive where those rockets went off in the 60s, and you got this fire tunnel where when the rocket would go off, fire would come out of it, right? It's huge. But you wouldn't know that standing over here. You just see the rocket going up. But if you was at the pad, you're like, whoa, this stuff is huge, right? But he was always looking in holes, right? Always looking in holes, man. Man, listen, you need to keep your mind right. You need to be doing what you need to do. He's going to look into a hole, looking down wells and stuff like that. I said, man, you don't know what's down that well. But he goes to this huge fire pit, right? And you can tell what fire used to come out of it. And he went in like this and he looked. And all of a sudden, he just dropped to the ground real fast. And this owl comes flying out, right, with his talons out. It was flying with his tongue. It was going to fly right into his face. It barely missed his head, like, zoom, man. And I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. I was laughing so hard, I fell on my knees. God. Y'all better leave nature alone. You better leave stuff alone that you can't control. Believe me, you will be at a disadvantage. If you were given wings to fly, as heavy as we are, you will be clumsy upstairs. And even small hawks can take you out. That's why if you go to the high place without covering, if you start hanging out with the raptors that are above your head and you're not armored, you can be taken out real quick by something real small that if you were in your dimension, you could take it out very easily. But if you elevate and you're uncovered, if you go up and you're uncovered, if you go up the mountain and he didn't beckon you, if you say, I'm not going to follow God's rule, but I still want to see. I want to see the unknown. I want to experience it, but you didn't get washed. The devil doesn't have to recognize you as being the one sent by God. And that's why the principality and the power and the ruler and the spiritual wickedness in high place dominates that division. And if you want to go there, you got to be covered by the blood. Glory to God. I want to go up. I want to see. No, you don't want to see if you don't have the blood. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So set the watch. Set the watch. And if you set the watch, if you set it to see what God would say, he will speak to you. As I shared earlier, to lay track so we can be on the same page, I believe hindrances to activation and to taking action or to progress, including potential, to include your potential, is all tied to external and internal hindrances. And so if you're going to progress, if you're going to go up, if you're going to expand this year, you got to look at your potential and you got to look at internal blocks and external blocks. And so a lot of people can see anything outside of them as it relates to blocking. I know when there's a barrier on the road that I'm traveling on, but do you know your internal blocks? Do you know what's stopping you from activation inside? Have you ever examined not what stops them? Please, I want you to see what stops you and paralyzes you for a year. What can derail God's active, his plan to activate you into higher levels of efficiency, effectiveness, and excellence? What can stop you from being effective as God wants you to be, or efficient as God wants you to be, or excellent as God wants you to be, as excellent as he wants you to be? Again, we all can recognize external blockages or hindrances, but what about the ones that are hidden? The ones that are intangible. Glory to God. What would your avatar look like? Okay, we got emojis, okay? If we made one of you, the semblance of who you are inside, what would it look like? I guarantee it's not the glamour boy. The man that looked like he got all of the muscles and the six pack. That's what we want them to see. That's a Merton that looks like a mighty man or a Superman. But if we took a picture of what you look like on the inside for the world to see, what would they see? Would they see half of a person? Would they see all of you? Would you have so much word that you can't hardly walk because you're that heavy? Or would they see a lean, green, powerful machine? Will they see someone that's lethargic and slowing everything down? Or will they see someone that's moving at a higher speed? Will they see someone that's pure at heart to see God? Or will they see someone that's clogged? Will they see someone that's spiritually constipated? Or will they see...
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
The name Jesus Christ is known by many, many people, but there are a lot of people who don't know anything about him, and maybe that includes you. Well, Billy Graham can shed some light on the topic.
Well, first, we know that he was a man, and we know that he was hungry and thirsty and tired. We know that he had friends. The scripture says, in every respect, he was tempted like we are. Yes, he was tempted.
But that is where the similarities with men end.
He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the image of that invisible God that created those 1 billion galaxies, and in every galaxy a billion stars and planets, and beyond that, infinity.
That Jesus is the one with whom you can have a personal relationship. We can tell you more at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. From the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.